Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of Free Kick as we go line by line through the different positions this preseason of 2026. Today we are hitting up the forward lines, the goal kickers, the excitement machines of the AFLW. And to chat through that, I've got a couple co-hosts with me here. I've got Willow and I've got Liam. Liam, how are you doing today?
I only respond when referred to as specifically Liam, but I'll take it, you know, nonetheless. I'm pretty good. This is an episode that it's going to be tough to cram in all the different names because once you get past the premiums, starts to get real funky, but also really interesting. I think that there are about 50 different relevant options this preseason.
Yeah, this episode could definitely go on forever, and it's going to be a lot to try and cram in quickly. Willow, what are you thinking about the forward line this year?
I think this is going to be possibly the line that distinguishes coaches throughout the season. I think Liam's put it correct. There's so many different options you can go for. There are so many different strategies you can go for. I really do think it's going to be super interesting to see how people structure up this year, whether they do pay up for their premiums, whether they do go a lot of mid prices. There's a few interesting cash cows as well. It's going to be really, really fascinating. And there's so many options. It's really exciting.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, just talking at the distribution we've got at the top here before we pass over to run through our top six, it's fascinating because we've lost so many forwards to the midfield group as we do every season. We've lost Zali Goldsworthy, we've lost Montana Ham, we've lost Ash Woodland, all who average in the 80s. And it's kind of leaving us with this weird split where we've got one player who averaged over 90 last season, and then a few in the 70s, and it just drops away from there. So it's going to be really interesting at the top this year.
We've also got the addition of the mid-forward DPP, which is probably worthwhile mentioning. And I think that speaks to why there are so many options, particularly amongst the kind of first to third-year player group who might have been a midfielder as a junior, but in order to get on the park in their first or second season, they're splitting time between mid and forward. There is a whole host of options in that cohort that would otherwise in previous seasons probably be lost to the midfield because that's when they spend more of their time.
No doubt at all. And it's good that we have them because it's going to make for a very interesting forward line this year with a lot of options, a big way to split them. And I think the way we've got to start here is at the top. Liam, why don't you take us through our top six players for 2026 projected by you?
More than happy to. So it's going to start with a rather chalky pick, and it is with the most expensive forward, but also the highest averaging, and that is Michaela Bowen. First time we have ever had her as a forward, even though she's probably been a mid-forward for each of the last two seasons, splitting her time between the wing and the half-forward line. Averaged 91 last year, sitting at 980k, highest score of 131. I think that it's comfortably her highest ever season. Her best season before then was a 77, but she'd come in as a highly decorated underager when she was on the West Coast list before joining Geelong. And I think the big addition here for Geelong is Mick Stanier and the fact that he brings with him a game style that can so clearly bring high scoring half forwards and wings. We look at what Eliza McNamara has done, what Megan Fitzsimon has done, what Kate Hoare has done, playing with the majority of their possessions coming in that center to half forward area of the ground. I think that spells a great sign for Michaela Bowen to still be the best forward this year. Where it starts, then we drop down. So, yep, 100%. I think she probably sits at high 80s, low 90s this season. We then have a drop, and we've got a tier of four that I think are high 70s. At two, I have Bonnie Toogood. At three, I have Courtney Hodder. At four, I have Charlie Mullins. And at five, I have Ash Richards. Bonnie Toogood sits at two for the fact that she still managed to be one of the highest averaging forwards last year at a 73.2, which includes an injury-impacted 51% time on ground for 42 in round one. And also impacted average last year by an Essendon game plan that really struggled to possess the ball at all. They went from one of the highest marked teams to one of the worst. I think that massively advantages someone like Bonnie Toogood if the return of Maddie Gay can lead to some more ball control. I think she's high 70s, low 80s. Knowing for us who've played AFLW Fantasy for a while that Bonnie Toogood can be 100 plus averaging forward, I think that's a genuine positive for us. Then we come into the two Brisbane Lions, Hodder and Mullins. Both started the season really under par. The question, well, what changed was both of them got a consistency in their role. Charlie Mullins moved more into the midfield. Courtney Hodder was given the back of stoppage half forward role. And both were among the highest averaging forwards in the last five games of last year. Mullins at 87, Hodder at a 90. I think it's going to be a little difficult to see that. Mullins also had an injury impacted score in there. I think it was like a 17 in round five or six last year that was going to bring down. So you're going to see a 64 average, but round eight onwards, 78, 74, 82, 115 against a top four team in Melbourne, and then an 87 to finish the home and away season. Some elite numbers. The big question to be asked of Brisbane is, do they replicate those same roles coming into this season that saw both Hodder and Mullins be kind of near 80 base, I would say, you know, in the 80s average? That's why they probably sit a little bit below Bonnie Toogood, because I'm not sure if both of them are going to be able to consistently score at that mark. But and the thing that I probably should mention is, I do wonder if Brandon Stasevich continues to try, not Brandon, that'd be his West Coast nephew, who plays for West Coast. That would be Craig Stasevich. What's he going to try and do to beat North Melbourne? They've fallen at that hurdle now twice. Is he going to try and change it again? We kind of saw the move away from Brett Conan in the midfield to have more of the Mullinses and Hodders of the world spending time in there. Is there another derivation? That's why they kind of sit a little bit lower. I have some questions. Ash Richards, whew, that was one of my favourite picks and also one of the most disappointing injuries of all time, when she broke her leg in a game last season. I think it was round eight, round yep. seven, when she was on 97 after only 69% time on ground. The reason why I pick her is she was incredible once she moved into the midfield and was finally given the role that she looks so natural at. 97, 73, 97 in her last three games for St Kilda last year. And I don't think St Kilda have added anybody that makes me worry that she isn't going to go back there this year.
Yeah, I think it's a big top five, and there's a lot to work through. I think let's pause there before we go through number six. Willow, I know you're a big fan of Geelong. Would you be starting with Michaela Bowen this season?
Look, I think Michaela Bowen, that 20-point buffer makes it hard for me to ignore. It's a lot of money, and I currently do have her in my starting team. I think it's probably the most safe pick you're going to get. I think that even if Bowen doesn't have that incredible career best season, I still think it's probably going to be a pretty easy 80, which still might be enough to get her to the number one forward spot. And even if that's losing you a bit of money, you mightn't be able to get there otherwise. So it's a tough call to leave her out from my point of view, but I can definitely see why you wouldn't want to pay up considering how much more expensive she is.
A question for you, without notice. When making your side, how late in the process did you decide, yeah, I'll pay up for Michaela Bowen?
Well, naturally, I pick all of my Geelong players first. So Michaela Bowen was the
That's fair. I asked the wrong person.
I think for me, I picked her pretty early on. I didn't want to come back to it and have to try and find the money. I thought I'd rather put her straight in and see what I can build around it. And at the moment, I'm pretty happy with how that's worked out. I think that the amount of points that you're going to get consistently from Bowen is enough to justify it. I think that all of these other top five players will be very good, but I think they're also the sort of players that you might get the odd 50 or 60 that just pulls that average down a little bit more, which is something that Bowen was really good at avoiding last season. If you're looking for points, I think Bowen's the way to go.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Geelong's fixture this year. I think it's got it a little bit easier. I know it starts with North Melbourne, but she also put up 108 against them last year, so that concern is a little bit less than it otherwise would be. But yeah, I remember in seasons gone past, it's a while ago now, but I remember we've had seasons where Jazz Garner was a forward and they were just scoring that much more than everyone else that you just felt like you were behind without them.
Yeah,
I'm not quite sure they're going to be that sort of player is the only thing. So it's a tough call. It's a tough call.
Yeah, and I'm hopeful that, as Liam pointed out, Mick Stanier coming in probably introduces a slightly more fantasy-friendly game, and there's a few better kicks coming out of that Geelong back line at the moment, and Michaela Bowen is the main link player there. So I think there's plenty of marks to be had, and I think that they'll continue to use her as that important transition player. So I think that, as I said, I think that the ceiling mightn't be as high, but I think the floor is probably where the value is in that sense. She's not going to tank her score. Even if she drops 10 points, it's still a really good player.
Yeah, and I think that that's my question. Not in my side at the moment, but by no means off the list. Like, my team is not finished because I'm getting to that stage now where I can see a case for picking Bowen, but that will drastically alter who I can pick at, you know, M4 or M5 or D2, D3, D4 type areas, because she is that much more expensive than a lot of the other options that I'm looking at. Probably also worthwhile noting that the time on ground is also the massive thing for Michaela Bowen. Her lowest time on ground last year was 85%, and then everything else was over 90. Makes a huge difference as well when a lot of her biggest scores came in games at GMHBA, which is one of the largest grounds in the AFLW. So working in space, working in transition, a 108, an 84, a 110, and a 131. Some really great scoring, and Geelong are always going to play their home games at GMHBA. That's just another, you know, fact in her favour. It is just a question of, can she sustain career-high numbers? And will it maybe take a little bit of time for a new transition movement style to take effect and therefore impact someone like Bowen, who is so reliant on those transition marks often?
Yeah. No, I think we've got a lot to mull over there for that number one forward pick. So that's a big question there. I think the cases for two good Hodder and Mullins, they really make themselves. I think they're pretty clear. Ash Richards is number five, though, and I think there is one player returning to the Saints mix this year because Olivia Vesely missed a lot of games through injury last year. We're not worried about that. We're expecting Richards to play in the midfield from the sounds of it. She did say as much in her interview that she'd been training in the midfield, but that's also, you know, something in preseason. You need to have twice as many players in the midfield for every scrimmage. So how much are we actually expecting that?
I think the thing there with Vesely is that, A, how many seasons in a row now has her body let her down? Kind of probably the first point. And I'd say that if you're now looking at what Ash Richards showed at the back end of last year and how much she improved, I think she looked better as a midfielder than Liv Vesely has, outside of maybe one game from Liv Vesely. I think it was like round one, two or three seasons ago. I'm of the view that it's a 5 to 10% concern, but nothing more. I think that Richards is a key part of that, you know, next wave of midfielders coming through. If St Kilda are going to have success, it's going to be probably on the back of players like Tiana Smith and Ash Richards being elite midfielders.
Yeah. No, I think that's absolutely fair. So look, that's our top five. Now, we've talked a little bit about this pick six before the recording, and it's fair to say you could throw a blanket over a lot of players fighting for this role, but you've singled out one player for your top six. Who is that going to be?
You say we discussed it before. I wanted to leave it empty because I was so unsure of who is going to go in at six, because I think that there are in excess of half a dozen options that are going to hit that low 70s average. I've put in Iran Fitzpatrick. Under duress, I might add, I was told that the episode would not be recorded unless I put a name in there. And I picked Iran Fitzpatrick because I like the way she plays a lot. That's the extent, right? I think that there are material questions about a whole bunch of players under this blanket. So there's a Ron Fitzpatrick who averaged 71 last year, kind of showed herself to be an elite half forward, got thrown onto the wing, into the center bounces every now and then. There are material questions, though, about how many midfielders can Carlton have rolling through in one team. And they've added two more to a midfielder, the midfield that was already stacked, and a half forward line that was already filled with midfielders. The other players that I could have picked are Ellie Blackburn, if she is returning to the midfield, where I believe Ellie Blackburn had the highest top score, sorry, second highest top score for a forward from last year with 123. I think she kicked four goals and played predominantly in midfield in a great game against Collingwood, and has had the highest kind of average of any of the options I'm about to mention. Chloe Malloy, who started the season off with a bang, averaged two goals a game, but then kind of petered out as the season went along, is still kind of averaged above a 70. And then we've got some more speculative options, but if we want to pick a Montana Ham or Ash Woodland style breakout from the 50s averages into that 80s bracket based on role, then it's Ash Centra and Havana Harris, who could meaningfully go from very high draft picks, break out, get more midfield time, or be an elite scorer and move into the kind of 70s bracket. And then the final name to throw under the blanket is Caitlin Gould, who has been in the kind of high 60s range before, comes in discounted this year. I think that there's questions to be had about Adelaide's new coaching regime and the fact that she's just mainly a key forward and her best scoring seasons have been when she's been as a ruck. But I couldn't pick exactly who I wanted to put at six. I think that the blanket is very large. I'm sure we will have missed a whole bunch of options that will end up in this 70s range, low 70s. But I struggle to pick exactly who it is.
Well, I'm glad to know that you've settled on one player and that you've decided wholeheartedly to put your name on them, that you're going to be sticking with them. If end of season, they're not top six, you know, we're going to judge you heavily based on that. So I appreciate you putting yourself out there for that, you know. I think it's good that you've done a top six just so we can say, here's the players that we stand by more commonly than anyone else. So I think it's more helpful for the listeners.
It is. And I don't doubt that. I just hated it. but open the floor. Like, feel free to, like, critique. Put someone else in at six who you're most confident in. Because I think it's genuinely difficult to say who it will be that sits in that low 70s tier or is most likely to be inside the top six forwards.
Well, yes. I think the next phase that we're looking at is some of these undervalued primos. And I think the first one that we're going to be talking about here is one from that list. Willow, you wanted to talk about Havana Harris.
Yeah, Havana Harris, the unicorn, one of the most talented players you will ever see, averaged a very solid 60 in her debut season, and most impressively, basically played up forward the entire time in the bottom place side and still managed to score pretty well, which is impressive. Something that has been discussed a bit about Havana Harris is the potential for her to play more ruck time, potentially even more midfield time. That is how versatile she is. Only 17% CBAs last season, but if that increases even, you know, up to about 30%, I think there's easily 10 points worth of value there for Havana Harris. We love a second-year breakout player at free kick as well. Havana Harris ticks all those boxes. And I think we all expect Havana Harris to be a player that we're picking in our side at some point in the near future. Hopefully it will be this year as an underpricer.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan of Havana Harris. I do hope that she's the sort of player that we see a lot of in the midfield. My question is she sort of reliant on getting that ruck role to be getting these CBAs?
I don't think she is. I think with Havana Harris, there's a distinct chance that she could just be another midfielder. That's the way they talk about her. I also think that she was averaging 60 as basically an actual half forward, despite her height. Like, she could take marks as a key position player, but her agility and ability to get the ball at ground level is what kind of set her apart. I think that the natural progression will be there, that as long as Gold Coast can get the ball forward in some semblance of a way, which is a big if, she's always a chance to get the ball. And I think they're going to try and funnel a lot of their football through her.
I think the thing that I'd like to see in this preseason is an increased CBA or ruck roll, because I want to see a player who can avoid the floor scores that meant that even when Havana Harris was able to string together multiple, you know, 50, 60, 70, 24 against Hawthorn would absolutely destroy your week in AFLW fantasy and really tank your ability to probably make some trades off the back of it if we think that that's a risk. That half-forward role can clearly have that, and I think part of the reason why I'm not so confident to put her in there, because I too think she's a unicorn, and when we interviewed Lily Mithen, the way she talked about her is like, this is going to be the best footballer in AFLW history. The fact that Jackie Dupuy has left the Suns means that there are not many key forwards left at the Gold Coast. So yeah. I'm sitting there going like, well, it's Havana Harris, and then whom? Unless they're going to push Anne Hatchard forward, which from what we've heard doesn't sound like the preference.
Yeah, and I think that that's the thing. If there is that CBA role there, I think it's a much better pick, no doubt. And that's something we will have to watch and wait for. The only thing I will say is Jack Dupuy was a player that Gold Coast loved to chuck behind the ball when things were going badly, which was often. So if that role appears for Havana Harris, I'd love that, because that's a lot of potential intercept marks.
Look, I think that there's a world where Havana Harris breaks out into Montana Ham, or Havana Harris breaks out into Bonnie Toogood. If it's the Bonnie Toogood role, it might be a little bit rich to try and predict it in a second season, even for someone who is clearly as talented as she is. If it is that half-forward, sometimes midfielder, but also a key distributor who drops behind the ball when the going gets tough, we know that that can be a 90-plus average. It just becomes, I think, harder to predict when that'll happen. So almost near the very top of my players to watch this preseason, outside of the rookie crop.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to throw my hat in the ring with another player that we are unsure how much forward time, how much midfield time they're going to be playing. Lucia Painter, who is priced at 630K, averaged 58.7 last season. I think this is a player who the West Coast desperately need to improve. West Coast have had a huge season last year, their best on record, but this year the fixture is a lot tougher. I think they're going to need to step it up yet again if they want to back up that finals performance. West Coast were a very interesting team last year. They were fifth for contested possessions, but still 16th in the clearance differential. So I think Lucia Painter is exactly the sort of player that we're looking for. And we're talking about opportunity in that midfield. We are seeing Ali Drennan step away for the season inactive. And if you actually look at the games last year, she only had three games over 40% CBAs. And the first two were games that Ali Drennan played, but went below 40% for the first time that season. It was a clear one-for-one role switch there, which is very exciting for Lucia Painter's step into the midfield. In those games, I think the fantasy prowess was a bit up and down depending on who she was playing. Against St Kilda and Carlton, decent scores of 57 and 65 respectively, but a very poor score of 34 against Fremantle from the 44% CBAs, who, to be fair, are an incredible midfield unit. So I do think it's going to be very, very interesting to see where she lines up this season. It sounds like she's been training in the midfield, and honestly, I think her best football is in the midfield. I think she's the sort of player that can improve their disposal, who can burst out of contests with a bit of pace. I think she's a very, very exciting player to watch this preseason.
I think she fits the forward who becomes a midfielder archetype that we saw from Ash Woodland last year. That's the type of midfield role that if we're going to see Lucia Painter in there a lot more, that's what I would be expecting. Now, I want to avoid being too prescriptive in, this is a one-for-one, you know, Lucia Painter plays in the midfield, she'll therefore average over 80. It's a bit bold. But I think that that's the midfield archetype that West Coast are missing too. I think they have Ella Roberts, who is a freak, elite. But it's that, you know, bursting shoulder-width style of explosion that they really haven't had at any stage. Well, actually, no, that's a lie. Ash McCarthy was that. but she wasn't nearly as good at West Coast as she now is at Fremantle. So I think that if it's going to be Painter, I think there's a reason to put her in the midfield. We just need to see it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think very, very exciting. And Liam, do you want to round us off with yet another player that we don't know if they're playing midfield or if they're playing forward?
Well, let's just continue the trend of talking about second-year mid-forwards. It's almost like when I mentioned it earlier, I knew what was coming. Ash Centra. She was number one pick last year, was one of the most highly selected players. Unfortunately, let us all down in round one with a 22 off only 61% time on ground. But the reason to pick her is the pedigree. She had some of the best under 18 and Coates League numbers that we've kind of ever seen. Had a 47 possession game to break the Coates League record in 2024, and also put together some elite numbers for forwards last season in a mid forward hybrid role. A 92 in her last game of the season in round 8 against West Coast, and then the most impressive performance, which was 108 against Hawthorn, which included 6 marks and 5 tackles and a goal on 20% CBAs. So has the scoring potential. Now, that does mean she's priced just below 60 because she did actually average pretty well. So for her to be someone worth picking, I think she needs to go at 70. And there are a few question marks about where she's going to play in this Collingwood team, because there are now a lot of midfield options and not a lot of forwards. And Ash Centra kicked goals in 4 of her last 5 games, including 2 against Sydney, which they won in a pretty impressive performance. They've got Bree Davey, who is a bigger-bodied midfielder. They've got Mattia Breed from returning from injury. They've got Carly Ramos, and they've got Ruby Schleicher to go alongside Ash Centra as bigger-bodied midfielder, most of whom can all play forward. I would love to trust immediately right here, right now, that Ash Centra is going to break out, be the best player we've ever seen, rival Havana Harris, which is basically what they did for the entirety of their junior careers, and be a 70-plus averaging midfielder, have that breakout, that second-year breakout that we've kind of relied on in fantasy circles. But I can't say it confidently. I don't necessarily buy in right now that that's what Collingwood are going to do. It feels like she's going to probably play more forward, because outside of Ruby Schleicher, I think she's the most capable forward of the lot of them.
I mean, what I really like about the Ash Centra pick and why she's been in and out of my team all preseason is that she actually scored better when she was playing in the forward line. Like her time when she was the centre midfielder was when she was scoring the 30s and 40s. And it was only once she moved into the forward line more regularly, that's when she was scoring her best.
I think there's something to be said that getting thrown into the CBA mix early last season, when she had basically no preseason and hadn't really been up to match fitness, it's why some of her best scoring actually came when her time on ground normalised. So the 108 and the 92 both came in her final 3 games, which is when her time on ground finally hit consistently above 80. If she's had a clean bill of health this preseason, I think that if it's 20% CBAs or 40% CBAs, I'd probably prefer the 40%, because I think it removes some of the floor scores that comes from playing in a team that struggles to get to the ball in the forward line. But I hear you in that I don't think it's a prerequisite, and it's why she's been in and out of my side as well. I just wonder if it's a confidence thing in picking her and predicting that breakout. We've been overconfident on some of these like breakouts before. We picked Montana Ham for 3 years before she finally went from 50 to 80. Are we going to get trapped in that same cycle with Centra? Or is she just going to go, yep, bang, I'm actually elite. I'm going to be a 40, 50% mid-forward, and I am the best player at Collingwood.
Yeah. No, fair enough. It's definitely a big watch this preseason. This weekend even, just to make sure we're keeping an eye on these preseason games. But we do have some honourable mentions that did not unfortunately fit the second-year mid-forward breakout role candidacy, but are underpriced premiums you should be considering this preseason. The first of which is going to be Lauren Wakfa, who was a West Coast kind of ruck forward last season, mixing her time between the two roles and ended on fire, averaged over 70 in the last 5 games. And I think if she carries on with that form, could be a very, very handy one to watch. Eden Zanka has moved across to Fremantle and is now the primary forward target up there, which probably also frees up a Hayley Miller as well. So that'll be interesting to see how those two go. And then Ash Maloney, who is an incredible forward at Geelong, but now has a new coach with Mick Stanier over there. And how are Geelong going to change their ball movement plan? Is it going to be for the better for Maloney or for the worse? Willow, your thoughts on any of those three?
Yeah, I find it interesting, the Geelong one, because Maloney's the one we talk about, but she averaged less than Jackie Parry last season. And I'm also really hopeful that she'll be partnered with Chloe Shear. I've been waiting for 2 years very patiently for Chloe Shear to return. And if Chloe Shear is back in that forward line, it just changes that dynamic once again. It makes me a bit wary of how that Geelong forward line will set up. We know that Melbourne were quite successful with multiple tall forwards, so we know Mick Stanier can do it, but yeah, it's an interesting one. And Zanka, as you said, going to a new club, always an interesting one. I love the Lauren Wackford pick, to be honest. It was one that I was playing last season as a random ruck to try and be as a point of difference, and it actually worked. It was one of my few good calls last season. So of those three, Wackford's the one that I like.
Yeah, and I'm a big fan of the fact that the West Coast players were all saying Wackford is the breakout of the preseason. She's gone from strength to strength. It could be a bit of a unique pick to start the year.
I do love a unique pick.
Let's move ourselves along to the mid-pricer options, a little bit cheaper down. And I think I'm going to start us off with the most obvious one in this bracket here, and that is Tia Charlton at Adelaide. There's a player we've talked a lot about already in these episodes. We're calling her a midfield up-and-comer, despite the fact she's already played 71 games. But really, she is a player that has been caught behind so many very good players at the Crows. So last season, looking at those CBAs, I'm just going to rattle off a few names that played significant midfield minutes and are not going to be there in 2026. So you've got Danielle Ponta or Daniel Paredes, who had 55% CBAs last season. Anne Hatchard had the 40% CBAs. Brooke Boileau had 31%. Tia Charlton actually only was at 16% of the CBAs last year, which is just not that many for a player that is, I think we would say, developing as a midfielder at the Crows. Still averaged the 56.3, but is definitely, I think, short of what she's capable of. If you look back at previous seasons, she had no CBAs in 2024 for an average of 41. But this year before, in 2023, she had a career best year of 70.6, and it was off the back of 35% CBAs across the season. So I think that's the biggest opportunity she had in her career to that stage. And across the first seven games of the season, she nearly went at 80. And then unfortunately just ran into a repeated cycle of North Melbourne and Brisbane opposition as the team rounded out the season and entered finals. But I think an absolute, not certainty, but as close as you can get to a certainty for getting midfield minutes this season, you would have to say she is the person that they need to fill that hole that's opened up in the midfield. I think she'll be probably third in line after, what, Marinoff and Goodwin. And I think as long as she's getting 40% or more, I would expect her to rise fairly significantly in price to start the season.
I think the only name that might be ahead of her, and I'm not sure, but it could be, is Grace Egan. But yeah. I still think that even if she's fourth in line, 40% CBAs, but more importantly, it's not just the CBAs, it's her position in the pecking order to get the ball as a midfielder or linking option across half forward. Whereas last year with Ponta and Hatchard spending less time in the centre bounces than they had previously, more time sat at half forward, that pushes out Tia Charlton as an option, who was herself, I think, battling some injuries kind of across the year, may have been even soft dropped, like was struggling to hold her spot in the side. I think she's massively boosted up in the priority list to move the ball across that half forward line, is a very good ball user too. I think that that's where, even if it's not the perfect midfield case, I still think she's an elite value prop.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. And you've also pulled out a player. You talked a little bit earlier on the episode about this player from the Crows. Who's your mid-priced option, Liam?
It is Caitlin Gould. So priced at a 53. She's gone, as I said before, up near 70 previously, so that's over 15 points of value. And included in that 53 average from last year was a score on one when she broke her wrist and went down injured. I think that if anyone is again going to benefit from having fewer people to kick goals, it is Caitlin Gould. She scored above 70 previously. I think she's also, you know, one of a handful of key forwards who has a 100-plus ceiling. And already in the first two match simulations, she has kicked... She's going at a goal a quarter. 8 goals in 2 games. I don't know exactly if they're happening in each quarter, but the number is nice and round. If she's kicking 4 goals a game, she's going to break the league goal-scoring record in a canter and also be an elite fantasy scorer. And I think there's something to be said the fact that new coach Ryan Davis?
Yep.
Chris Davis? Ryan Davis at Adelaide has come from the Brisbane coaching tree the last 2 years, coaching their midfield group. That has been a very efficient forward entry team that has been very, very effective in generating goal scoring opportunities for Taylor Smith, for Dakota Davidson. I think Caitlin Gould, could be the next in that line and push her average up 15 points a game. And we know that if she's as well pinch hitting in the ruck, which I suspect she might do more this year, particularly if she's not injured, that again helps to set the floor. I think that she's one of the players that if we start to lose confidence, or I start to lose confidence, picking the second year mid-forward breakout, Caitlin Gould is right there as a value prop that we know and we're aware of what they're capable of to pick.
Yeah, I think Gould is an absolute superstar of the competition, and it'll be nice to see it again in 2026. I'd love to talk more about her, but quite frankly, I was there at that game where she broke her wrist, and I heard it, and I don't want to think about that anymore. So we're going to move on to our next player in the comp, our next mid-priced option here. Willow, you've got a jet that I'm very excited to talk about. Can you tell us a little bit about Sierra Greaves?
I sure can. I've gone for another potential second-year breakout player because that is apparently the flavour of the forward line. Sierra Greaves for Richmond looked really, really good early on. Started the season with a couple of scores over 60 and a couple of 70s as well. Tailed off as the season went on, but the scoring pedigree is there. Was a really, really strong scorer in the Coates League and is your classic. Started in the half forward line. Is a chance to play a bit more midfield time, especially in a Richmond team that is rebuilding a little bit with the new coach, Jared Donders. So if Sierra Greaves is one of the players that becomes much more prominent in that midfield mix, I would expect there to be a fair bit of scoring improvement. And of course, we have a prime second-year breakout target there.
I absolutely love it. And one thing I want to add here is I've watched a lot of the highlights from the match sims from Richmond's point of view. They put up a terrific highlight reel. And I swear every time they exit defensive 50, they kick it up the field, Sierra Greaves takes a mark, and then handballs off to Monconti. It happens like 10 times in their match simulation highlights. And if that's the role she's got in this coming season, I'm very, very excited by what's going to be happening there on transition.
I just hope it's in the midfield and not half forward. I think that's the concern.
Yeah, look, as long as she's pushing up the ground and she's not stuck in the forward line, I think it's for the price that she's at, I think it's positive either way. I'm a big fan of this pick, Willow.
I'm also a big fan of this pick and someone who's been in my side basically since the game opened. The other question to ask is back end of last season, really struggled with time on ground and fitness. Finished with 2 games at 60% for two scores in the 20s. Could be someone who starts really hot and fades during the season. I hope not. We'd like to see you maybe some high time on ground quarter on quarter this coming weekend. I think she is again someone very high on the watch list because of the price point. She's a little bit cheaper than those other mid forward second year breakouts that we were talking about earlier. But yeah, I think this is a great pick. Sierra Greaves is just like uber value, scored immediately well in tough games against Essendon in Darwin and then against Melbourne last year.
Yeah, and I think if that is the case where she does start the season on fire and starts to tail off, you take the money and you put it into one of those other premium options, it's a good win. So as long as she starts in a reasonable form, I think it's a moneymaker for sure.
Now, there's still a lot of other mid prices that we don't have time to talk about, but I think there's a lot of talent still that players, coaches can be looking through and finding. India Rashid and Hannah Munyard are two more Crows players that are listed as forwards and should be good scorers this season. Grace Baloney at the Bombers, Caitlin Wendland and Ellie Hampson over at Port Adelaide look like they're having very interesting pre-seasons. And depending on what Glenn Strawn does, Port Adelaide could be a very close team to watch. Greta Bodie is incredibly cheap after having a pretty down season by her standards, so it could be a bit of a price riser. And Kalinda Howarth is just always relevant in that Collingwood forward line.
Yeah, she got injured and didn't quite come back in the best form, but the word out of Collingwood is that she's going to play more of halfback this year, which is probably where the ball is going to be a fair bit for Collingwood. So if they do decide to do a bit of chippy-chippy marks around the back line, there could be some points there for Kalinda Howarth.
Also, interestingly enough, that was where she played her last few games at the Gold Coast, at the Sun, sorry. And she only played one game, scored a 53, and then did her ACL. But that's still 10 points of value on what she's currently priced at. Just a very good kick. I find it fascinating that one of the leading goal scorers for Collingwood last year, who were one of the worst forward 50 teams, is now moved to halfback in place of, I'm assuming, six mid forwards. So I'm fascinated to see what's cooking at Sam Wright's Collingwood. But yeah, I'd heard the same thing about Howarth, and I think that's fascinating, if a little awkward. I just don't know if there's going to be enough points to go around when Tahnee White is just such a dominant accumulator in that D50.
Now, let's move along to the cash cow options that we have in the forward line, the cheap players that are under the $400,000 price tag. I think when we looked at defenders, there were not that many. It was a real slim pickings. Midfield, there was quite a few more, but the forward line to me is where we have so many rookies here. Liam, you've picked out one that you want to talk about. Who is it?
Well, I don't know if Jono wants me to talk about Keely Skepper or he wants me to talk about Olivia Walmerens. I presume it's Keely Skepper.
Yeah, the one that you've put your name down to talk about on the run sheet. I don't know what you're looking at.
Sorry. The player that I actually wanted to throw out there is very lowly owned at the moment, only, you know, less than 2% of the competition at time of recording have her in there, and that's Lavinia Cox. Dreadful average last season, dreadful average as a junior, but most importantly, at a Hawthorn side that has lost most of its halfback scoring, Lavinia Cox has been training particularly well as a halfback. I think that is a gift to everyone if she's playing that role and kind of shows something. It is a risk, obviously, but I think picking cheap rookies in the forward line, given how difficult it can be to pick options that score above 45 and 50, is the way to go. I think Lavinia Cox is going to be fascinating.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan of any Hawk player. Willow, your thoughts?
I think for 200K, it's going to be the case with, as always, with your cheap rookies. You want someone who's going to play. And I think that at this stage, with very few other genuine will play 200K options, I think there's a lot of options who are slightly more expensive, which we'll obviously get to. But I think there aren't a huge amount of genuine bottom price rookies that we know about. I actually really love this as an option, especially if that halfback role does not just eventuate, but becomes a scoring role. I think it's a fascinating one. And, you know, I feel like your 200K forward rookie is one of your last picked players. I feel like it's a high risk play in a low risk spot is the way I'd look at it.
Yeah, it's definitely some upside. And there's a lot of points to fill back there with Tilly Lucas-Rodd departing in the offseason. Emily Everest going down is also really awkward for the Hawks because we don't really have a one-for-one player that can just go back there. I hear Jess Vukic has been training back there this offseason, but I think that's going to be an interesting experiment. If it doesn't work out, then you're going to see all of the sort of other tall defenders stepping up into these different roles, and then suddenly Lavinia Cox is going to be, you know, pretty important back there. Willow, how about yourself? Who are you thinking of chatting about today?
So a player that I've been pretty keen on, slightly more expensive when it comes to your cash cows, but I'm going for Keely Skepper at West Coast based on their previous scoring. has averaged over 50 in pretty much every other season that they've played at Carlton, but lost their role in their sort of connecting half-forward wing role last season and has moved over to West Coast in search of a bit more opportunity. And as a result, she's priced at 357K, which is that little bit more expensive, as I said. But if she does get pushed back up to that 50 sort of average, it's easy money. She's priced at, I think it's 30, 38, which is well below what we know she's capable of. I think that West Coast are crying out for a midfield half-forward connector, and I think Kelly Skepper is a player that could really do that. And hopefully we'll be able to unlock a player like Lucia Painter to play more in the midfield. So hopefully we could get a 2-for-1 there.
Yeah. And look, so far in the match simulations, she started pretty strongly. She kicked 2 first-quarter goals in a recent one. So I think that's pretty exciting news to see. I've gone for a very similar player in the sense that they're a little bit overpriced, coming in at 389K, and that is Lauren Young, who is a player that we've talked about a lot over previous preseasons, being one of the most heralded of her 2023 draft class, basically coming off an average of 110 fantasy points in the Sandford Women's League, which is just absolutely incredible. But an ACL delayed that, and it took, it was quite a bad ACL. It took her not just the 1 year, but I think it was halfway through last season before she was actually able to take the park. And a problem with that, I guess, was that I don't think she'd had a full preseason to condition herself. So she started quite slow, low time on ground, stuck in the forward line, wasn't really pushing up too high. But this season, we are hearing very different things out of the Port Adelaide camp. Molly Brooksby was talking about her as the breakout player at Port Adelaide this year, that she's moving incredibly well. And I think we could finally see that absolute young gun that we've heard so much about.
Yeah, and I think the other thing for me with Lauren Young is watching her last season clearly wasn't quite that 100%, but was also in a system that just didn't suit a player who knows how to get the ball, can mark on the lead, things like that. Port Adelaide, we've talked about it so much, but they were basically just get the ball and just dump it forward and see what happens. And while Lauren Young is a very exciting player, it doesn't really suit her strengths. And with the new coach that we've talked a little bit about, potentially implementing a little bit more control in the game plan, I think Lauren Young really is a player that we might finally be able to see, you know, become the player they were expecting. Although we could be saying this for the next 3 years in a Montana Ham situation, ain't that right, Liam?
Oh, well, funnily enough, we're very good at getting caught in loops talking about players that were good as a junior and then take ages to break out. But I'm with you on Lauren Young. It will just be a watch in the preseason. Sounds like she is predominantly playing forward, in part to just give her one position to get that full preseason under her belt. But I still think there's potential value there. I think we'd be doing a disservice to probably pick a few players or at least talk about some of the players that were in this past year's draft. The one that I want to talk about most is a Collingwood draftee, Imogen Trengove, averaged a 97 in the under-18 championships, was described by one talent evaluator as the best blend of size, speed, and endurance in this most recent draft crop, a coach's dream for her, you know, a sponge-like ability and her, you know, potential future captaincy aspirations. I think that, and when we talked to Ellie Runnels, it was Imogen Trengove who was mentioned first and foremost as a rookie who was going to get games early. I think that is a very positive sign, because one of the biggest risks that we have when picking these forward rookies is the job security. And when we talk about some of the other options that are highly owned or out there, I think there are some much bigger questions about how likely they are to stay in the side. A very young team like Collingwood needs to be continuing to push their youth. I think Trengove gets games to start round one and has a scoring pedigree at under 18 level to justify picking it below 300K.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm a big fan of that pick. I also think there's another couple high draftees as well. Someone like an Olivia Wall-Warrens, who was the number one pick for Richmond. And they're really, I think, looking for that next generation of key forwards to come through. So I think her and or Fina Death Levson are both players that I expect to get a lot of time early in the season. Ella Slocum has come across from North Melbourne to West Coast and has been training in the midfield this preseason. She could get a look in. We know that West Coast midfield had a lot of players running through it last season, and depending on fitness, I imagine she'll be able to jump into that at some point. Neve Martin at the Hawks is another one who is priced incredibly cheaply on the back of missing last season, I think doing actuarial studies, which was quite interesting. But there's a big hole for the Hawks coming off that half-forward line with the retirement of Eileen Gilroy, so she's going to be very, very interesting coming in. Willow, am I missing many more rookies that you want to talk about?
I think you've covered the main ones. I like the Fina Death Lesson pick. I think that's quite an interesting one. One of the ones that was mentioned in an interview that is to come is Ifra Horsk, who's apparently the fastest player on Melbourne's list, outstripping both Alyssa Bennett and Shelley Heath, which is super exciting. So she's one to potentially look out for. But yeah, I think there's some interesting names there to consider.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's...
A couple more can I throw in?
Yeah,
Christine Lee Weston-Turner, if she plays, 260K, has potential and physical talents out the wazoo, but has gone across to North Melbourne, and that is the hardest 21 to break into. And then Emily Goff, who will probably, I say probably, definitely get games at Essendon as one of the few marking targets that we will probably have inside our forward 50. Priced at 200K because she missed all of last season with an ACL injury and was very quiet in her first season. Probably got thrust into a very important role far quicker than most were expecting when she was drafted, but will play, third-year player. It's kind of, if you're looking to avoid some of the risks that comes with job security, I think going to one of those, or going to Goff, could be a valid play.
I think that's actually such a great shout, and I'm really glad you brought her up, because I was thinking about Emily Goff the other day, because she was having to cover that deep forward line when Bonnie Toogood went down, and having to come in and be the key tall, you know, taking the best defender is such a challenging thing in your first year. So I'm really excited to see what she can do this year.
And then a couple of the names that I just wanted to mention, because they're very highly owned at the moment, but I'm not 100% sure they should be. And that's Misha Barwon and Lucy Way. Both are near 50% owned at the minute. And I think that Lucy Way, I have no confidence she will play whatsoever. Was not a very high draft pick. Not a great scorer. Misha Barwon, I think, was a pick in the 20s for Collingwood. Was a fine enough small forward scorer. I just don't know if she's going to get a role consistently from round one. I'm happy to change that if she looks amazing in the preseason. But I don't... both of them are mid-forwards and are picked and very highly picked at the minute. I think there are better rookie options out there, even if they are very cheap. So they are kind of at that 200K point and give you a bit of flexibility between your mid-bench and your forward line bench. I just feel like we will have some better scorers as we get through the preseason.
Yeah, there's definitely a feeling of people looking for placeholders as they're doing their research this off-season. And I suppose it's a good reminder just to make sure you check your benches in those early rounds, just to make sure that you're not locking into someone who's not going to play during the season. And speaking of locking in, who is the player in your forward line that you think you are locking in at this point? I'm going to start with you, Willow. Who in your forward line are you pretty confident you're going to start with already, you know, at this few weeks out from the season starting?
Yeah, there's only two players that haven't fallen out of my team through all the permutations, but I'm going to go for the big one, Michaela Bowen. I think that the ceiling is just too high to ignore, and I'm gonna put the money into Michaela Bowen. I think she's the best forward pick there is. I think that's the safest pick and a lock for me, and I definitely don't have Geelong bias when I make that pick.
Love that. Liam?
I think that this line has been the toughest for locks. I would have said at the start of the preseason, before we saw match simulation notes, that it's Havana Harris, but a talk about maybe spending less time in the ruck, maybe moves her down a level. I think it's a toss-up for me between Charlie Mullins and Tia Charlton. I think the pair of them are probably the closest to locks in my team for the value that they both could present. 70 plus average that we've seen from the pair of them. Mullins was on an absolute tear at the back end of last year, and I think she's a future midfield star.
I think those, I mean, all three of those players have definitely graced my team plenty of time throughout this preseason, If I'm going to add one more, though, I think every iteration of the team that I've had has featured Ash Richards and Lauren Young. Those two are two that I'm very excited to see this preseason, particularly Ash Richards. I think that was a special 3 weeks, and I couldn't agree more that she's going to be in that midfield. So very, very excited for that coming up. That is going to be our forwards episode. It's a bit of a long one here. We're coming up on an hour on the recording, so...
It wouldn't be an episode where I was the lead analyst that didn't go for an extra long period of time. There's always just so many things to say.
There is. And so many different ways to say them. So very, very exciting. I'm looking forward to the Ruck episode. I think there's a lot of interesting plays you can go this season. We've got some bench options that range wildly in price. So I'm keen to see everyone's thoughts on those. If you want to read more about this, there is an article up on the AFL website right now.
And the next episode you will hear from us is not a position episode. It will be our review from the practice matches, which has consistently been our most important episode because we get so little data about what's happening in the off-season and during the match simulations to actually get vision we can watch and hopefully, eventually, stats. That is when you can really lock in. I think that, you know, set your calendar. It'll be, you know, mid-next week that you'll be hearing. It'll be up there. We'll have some articles both on the AFLW website and on our Substack. It is vital to lock in, kind of really pass that stuff because that's where you get the real nuggets and the players who end up being the best picks.
Yes, and to be honest, while you're listening to this, there's probably a practice match going on right now because there are two on the Friday and so, so many on the Saturday. So if you are listening to this early enough to be, you know, having a chance to watch those, I would recommend doing yourself a favor and logging on and watching one of those online or attending in person if you get the chance. All right, that's going to be us. We'll see you next week. Have a good one, everyone.
See ya.
See ya.